Hazard Audio.
This week on Sports Appeal, Matt and Steve get into the NFL catch rule and training, followed by the Tweet Zone. That on top of soccer with the Gold Cup USA and the road to Russia, plus Hulk Hogan, Colin Cowherd, and sports madness, it's right here.
Recorded live at the Launchpad Studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is gonna be a home run! I just know it, because I can see into the future!
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
Welcome to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve Gross.
And I'm Matt Axelrod.
You can find us every single week here on iTunes. I'm not saying we're the Taylor Swift of podcasting, but I'm not saying we're the Taylor Swift of podcasting. Find us on iTunes, rate us 5 stars, leave us a nice review. It helps us out a ton when you do that on the iTunes rankings. All of our music is provided by Full Service. They're our studio band. And you can get all their stuff on iTunes or Spotify or their YouTube channel. Tweet at us at The Sports Appeal. We love interacting with you guys on Twitter. We try to respond to every single person who tweets at us. We love doing it. With us, as always, is our producer. He's a nightmare dressed like a daydream, Johnny Five.
Thank you. And we are powered by Hazard Audio.
This week's show, we're going to talk about some soccer with the Gold Cup and the draw for the World Cup. We're going to talk about some controversy with Hulk Hogan and Colin Cowherd. But first, we're going to start with the NFL. Training camp starts real soon, Matt. I cannot wait for the season. What's a big storyline you're looking at this year?
If you remember back during the playoffs last year, Dez Bryant had that phenomenal catch, and then he tried to extend it for a touchdown, and he ended up dropping the ball. And it was ruled not a catch and then reviewed and upheld as not being a catch. A lot of people were really upset about that. They thought it should be a catch. I think that's ridiculous. You drop the ball, it's not a catch. Well, the NFL has spoken. They rewrote the rule that was applied, and they removed the whole football move line from the rule, but otherwise kept it the same. And so, according to the NFL now, this non-catch is still not a catch.
Yeah, so basically they amended the rule because a lot of people had problems with it, and it's still not a catch. So, Cowboys fans, just stop whining about this. I'm tired of hearing it. The big story I'm looking at in the NFL this year is going to be the Eagles. Super interesting. With Chip Kelly, they brought in Sam Bradford, DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews. This team is going to be really interesting to watch. I have no idea what to expect from them.
Yeah, I think they'll probably win about 9 or 10 games at least. They have a talented roster. Health might be an issue.
Yeah.
Now, they always do seem to stay pretty healthy for the most part. On the whole, because of the whole Chip Kelly revolutionary approach to the game with the speed that they use, guys don't seem to get hurt very much, except for their quarterbacks. And so then they go out and get the most injury-prone quarterback in the NFL.
The Glass Man.
Yeah, so this will be really intriguing to see if Bradford can make it through a season with Chip Kelly as his coach, because quarterbacks just don't stay healthy in his system.
Yeah, that's true. And another interesting storyline with the Eagles is the quarterback position, because Mark Sanchez played well last year when he was asked to. And then they have Tim Tebow now, who apparently has fixed his throwing motion. Everything I'm reading about him now is that he's a much better quarterback, and his throwing motion's great.
I would love it if Tim Tebow ends up the starter by the end of this season, just to piss off you, Steve
I know.
Gross.
I knew that was the reason as soon as you started saying that. But I don't get, why does everyone keep saying Chip Kelly is a genius? He hasn't shown it in the NFL. He showed it at the college level, but in the NFL, we haven't really seen it.
There are good things to take away from what he's done, and I feel like he's gotten the most out of the talent he's had on his rosters, because his rosters have not been up there with the most talented in the league. I feel like he's gotten as much as possible, really, out of the teams he's had. Now, I still don't think that he's got the talent to win a Super Bowl this year either, so I doubt anything's really going to change with their overall outcome. But I understand where people are coming from with the genius thing. It's a very novel approach that he takes towards the game. And for the most part, when it's really clicking, teams have no idea how to handle it.
That's true. I also want to talk about, real quick, the Indianapolis Colts, because they had a big offseason, too. They got really close to making it to the Super Bowl last year. A lot of people think they're one of the best teams in the AFC this year, including myself. And they made some big additions in the offseason. They swapped out old man Reggie Wayne and brought in old man Andre Johnson. So we'll see how that works. But they made a huge upgrade at running back. Their running game last year was dreadful once Ahmad Bradshaw got hurt. And they brought in Frank Gore, who's a little bit on the older side, but he's still got some gas in the tank.
Yeah, he's still a very good running back. That should help out a lot, because Andrew Luck needs to not be throwing the ball so much. Andrew Luck needs to be asked to do a little bit less for this team until he fully matures into his own as an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, and they drafted Philip Dorsett, the speedy wide receiver, so they're going to do some interesting things with him. I think Andrew Luck is going to have a little bit more help this year. Maybe cut down on the turnovers. That would be nice. But I think the Colts are a real threat in the AFC.
Yeah, I agree. I like watching the Colts. I like Andrew Luck, and I'm rooting for them this year, and I think they will do well.
The defense is the one question mark for me, and that's about it.
On that note, let's throw it to Johnny Five for the Tweet Zone.
Tweet Zone. Hit the tweets.
Alrighty, our first tweet coming from Doug on Facebook. Which NCAA football conference has the most to prove, gain, and lose this season?
I think I'd have to go with the Big Ten. The Big Ten really established itself last year out of nowhere as being a powerhouse conference in NCAA football. I mean, you have Ohio State winning it all, and then you have Michigan State, who the only two teams they lost to all season were the two teams that were in the championship round. And then you've got University of Michigan, who just brought in Jim Harbaugh from San Francisco. And so they're widely expected to be better because he's been a fantastic college coach in his career. And University of Wisconsin had a nice season last year. So this is really a year for them to prove themselves. If they can keep it up this year, then they'll really have established themselves as a powerhouse conference once again. But if they take a step back, then it'll just be viewed as kind of a flash in the pan.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I don't think they're going to take a step back. I mean, Ohio State is stocked with talent. They have top five pro prospects in like five different positions, and that's not counting quarterback.
And speaking of quarterback, Braxton Miller, who was their starting quarterback going into last year, and he's been a great college quarterback in his career because of the talent on the depth chart at quarterback, he decided to go to wide receiver this year.
He did, yeah. So the Big Ten definitely has a lot to prove this year. I'm going to go with the Big 12 because last year at the end of the year, they didn't have a conference championship game, and Baylor and TCU both got snubbed for getting into the Final Four for the playoff bracket. So I think if they had a conference championship game, whoever won that game would have been in there. I think they have a lot to prove as a legitimate conference, especially TCU with that kid Boykin coming back at quarterback. He's a Heisman hopeful. I'm really looking forward to watching TCU elevate the Big 12 back to national prominence.
Next one is from at RayRayCharles33. What do we see first, a Cubs World Series victory or a U.S. Soccer Men's World Cup victory?
Well, you know what I'm going to say on this. By far the Cubs, and honestly, being unbiased a little bit, the main reason for that is there's only a World Cup once every 4 years, so there are just less chances to do that.
You know, in my head, I'm thinking it's probably going to be the Cubs, but I can't give you the satisfaction. I'm going to go over the World Cup. I can't do it. I know it's only every 4 years, but the U.S. has been improving a lot lately. Jurgen Klinsmann's doing a great job recruiting players from other countries who have American ties. American soccer is really on the rise, and I'm really looking forward to the next World Cup. So just to spite you, I'm going to go with the World Cup.
Well, you know, the Cubs are going to win a World Series before the next World Cup even happens. So suck on that, Steve. We're out of time right now. We're going to take it to a break. But when we come back, we got some more Tweet Zone. Keep it right here.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com. You're listening to Sports Appeal. We just went through the first half of the Tweet Zone. We're going to continue right now. Johnny Five, take it away.
Tweet Zone. Hit the tweets.
And our next tweet, continuing on the Tweet Zone, is coming from at BrewerCar20. Are the Astros legitimate contenders, adding yet another quality arm in Scott Kazmir?
Short answer is yes, they are legitimate contenders. They were already a pretty good team. And it's Scott Kazmir. I mean, he's not a number one or number two starter, but he is a reliable, solid career Major League Baseball pitcher. I love this move by the Astros.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to have some trouble in the postseason having consistency with their young roster, but they're very good. I wouldn't pick them as a real contender necessarily, and I don't think adding another arm puts them over the edge for that, although it certainly helps. I don't trust their offense to maintain the way you needed to through a postseason.
I'm pretty surprised to hear you say that. Last week you said they're going to win the AL West. Then they trade for a reliable starter, and now you're saying they're not a real contender. I don't get it.
I still think they're going to win the AL West. I just don't think they'll have the consistency that you need in the postseason to win several series in a row.
So who do you think are contenders in the AL then? Obviously, you think Kansas City, right? Who else do you have?
I'd say the Yankees for sure, even though I think the talent level isn't necessarily where it's been in some of their better years. They just have that consistency. They've been there, done that. They're really well managed. So I'd pick them. Other than that, I'm not really sure who else I'd go with. My guess is it's going to be Kansas City coming out of the AL again.
That's interesting. I'm really surprised that you said that about the Astros. I think they are a legitimate contender. I think they have a lot of youth. If they catch fire at the right time, look out. They're going to be tough to contend with.
I don't trust them to be consistent enough. That's really all it comes down to.
At Roll Tide Pride is asking us, if you could have any QB in the NFL at the helm of your team, who would it be and why?
It's a pretty easy question for me, really. Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback in the National Football League. I would have him at the helm of my team. Why would you choose anybody else?
Well, I'm going to choose someone else.
Of course you are.
Hey, Aaron Rodgers is a fantastic quarterback. The things he has done to my Bears teams over the years cannot be understated.
Shredded.
Yeah, he has. But I'd want to go with Andrew Luck for a couple reasons. Aaron Rodgers is still a better quarterback than Andrew Luck.
Yep.
But Luck is younger. Luck has a better physical makeup for the game. And I trust him a little bit more in the clutch, to be honest. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, but his clutch numbers aren't that great. Late in games on fourth quarter drives when his team is down, he has not been that successful in his career. And he hasn't beaten a team with a winning record on the road since December 16th of 2012. He's lost his last 8 games against winning teams when on the road. And that includes the playoffs, and you're going to have to win some games on the road in playoff games against good teams.
Last time I checked, Aaron Rodgers has a banner in his stadium that says World Champion. Andrew Luck has a banner in his stadium that says AFC Finalists. Like, they made the AFC Championship game. That's the only stat I need to know.
Yeah, at this point in his career, though, Aaron Rodgers had not won a championship yet.
He was still on the bench. You can't even compare the two. That's ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, he was still on the bench.
Behind Brett Favre, a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I'm still taking Andrew Luck. It's mostly the youth thing. Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback, but I want the couple extra years that I'm going to get out of Andrew Luck.
I completely disagree. What do you guys think? Tell us at the Sports Appeal. Would you pick Aaron Rodgers? Would you pick Andrew Luck? Or a different quarterback.
And this last one is coming to us from friend of the show, Matt Yost. And he's referencing our last episode, episode 27, Bench Pressed. Is it just me, or did you guys just go an entire episode without saying Cubs?
Yeah, you're right, Yost. That's my bad. I was slipping. Sorry.
I'm not sorry. I loved it. It was awesome. So that's it for the Tweet Zone. Don't forget to tweet us at the Sports Appeal. Like I said, we love interacting with you guys on there. And we do read tweets on the show every single week. So hit us up there. Right now, we're going to transition into some soccer stuff. I love this stuff. I know you love it too, Matt. The Gold Cup final is today. Today's Saturday, so today's the Gold Cup final between Jamaica and Mexico, which I think everyone had that on their bracket, right?
Oh, yeah, that's totally what people would have picked.
Jamaica put a couple quick goals on the U.S. in the first half, both kind of on fluky plays. The U.S. really outplayed Jamaica in that game, especially coming out in the second half, the first 12, 15 minutes of the second half. It was just a U.S. offensive barrage. The Jamaican keeper was having trouble keeping up, but he managed to keep all the balls out of the net, except for one, and Jamaica beat us 2-1.
It was a very disappointing showing, especially with some of the really big successes the U.S. has had in the friendlies leading up to this Gold Cup, beating some of the top-ranked teams in the world. And then they go ahead and lose to Jamaica in the semifinals. It was really a letdown.
Yeah, it really was. I thought we were going to punch one in the second half there against Jamaica's shaky goalie, Ryan Thompson. He doesn't play in Europe. He doesn't play in MLS. He plays for the Pittsburgh Riverhounds.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But Jamaica is a much improved team. They have, I think, 4 or 5 guys who played in the Premier League. And the United States only has one. Because DeAndre Yedlin doesn't actually play there yet. So they are a much improved team. They've given a lot of teams problems lately with their physicality and speed. So not entirely surprising that they're there. But Mexico is the story here. I don't know how they're in this final. They played a man up against Panama for most of the game because Panama got an early red card. And Panama buried a goal. With about 2 minutes left in the game, Mexico gets gifted a goal. They got called a PK on a foul that was clearly not a foul. Everybody who was at the game, everybody who was watching on TV knew it was not a foul. They buried the PK, got another PK in overtime, and ended up beating Panama 2-1. It was so bad that even after the game, when they were interviewing the Mexican players and coaches, they were like, we didn't really deserve to win. That wasn't a foul. And the guy who took the penalty shot actually said he thought about missing it on purpose because the foul was so bad.
That's one thing that I like about soccer that you don't get in most of the like more typical American sports. There's a better sense of sportsmanship from what I've seen. Like, when a guy goes down with an injury in soccer and the other team has the ball, they'll kick it out of bounds to kill the play. And then when the other team gets it back in, they'll turn it right back over to the team that had the ball so that you've got sort of a sense of fairness, you know, not taking advantage of a guy going down. If someone goes down in basketball, you take advantage of that shit. You score.
Yeah, I can't see Ndamukong Suh kicking the ball out of bounds to help a guy who's injured.
Oh, God, no. I mean, nobody. It just doesn't happen in most of the sports that we watch here.
Right. So the championship game of the Gold Cup is today. The third place game is today where we're playing Panama, which I expect to be a physical game, but nobody cares about the third place game. Tickets were on sale for $8, so I don't think anyone's going to that. But also today, the announcement came out for the World Cup qualifiers. So here's who the U.S. has to play in the World Cup qualifiers in order to get to the World Cup in Russia. We have to play Trinidad and Tobago, who actually played pretty well in the Gold Cup. We have to play Antigua. We have to play the winner of St. Vincent versus Aruba, and then the winner of Antigua and Barbuda versus Guatemala. So, kind of an easy road for us to get to Russia, but the interesting thing is Spain and Italy actually got drawn into the same group, so their road to the World Cup is going to be a little more challenging.
I would fully expect that the U.S. is going to come out of that group. Look at what we did in the last World Cup against the group of death and actually managed to come out of that and almost beat Belgium. Belgium ended up tying it late in the game after the U.S. had been leading for much of it. But this U.S. team is really fluky, and you can see that in losing to Jamaica yesterday. But I fully expect them to come out on top of enough of those to qualify. We'll be right back, but when we come back, we're going to talk some Hulk Hogan and Colin Cowherd controversies, and then we've got sports madness.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. Last year, $300 million were won, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Welcome back to Sports Appeal. We got some controversies going on right now. One in the media, one in the WWE, which is shocking. Drama in the WWE. I'll start with that one. I'll start with Hulk Hogan. A recording came out of him spouting off racial slurs in the middle of a sex tape that came out about 8 years ago. Now the WWE has cut all ties with him. They've ghosted him from their website. The racial slurs were all about black people. I'm sure you can guess what the slurs were. Not great for Hulk Hogan.
Guess he got tired of saying brother.
Oh, man.
It took me a second.
It took me a second. Oh, gosh. That's terrible.
For our next story, Colin Cowherd was on the air talking about reports and opinions that people have about Marlins manager Dan Jennings, who used to be a GM, and then they put him in as the team's manager, so he's making coaching decisions. And people were saying that he's not going to do well because it's too complex of a game, and Colin Cowherd disagrees.
The game is too complex? Like, I've never bought into that baseball is just too complex. Really? A third of the sport is from the Dominican Republic.
So obviously he has caught some flack for that, because the clear implication is that he doesn't think Dominican players are very intelligent, or people from the Dominican in general are very intelligent. So he backpedaled on that the next day.
Yeah, I hope he has a job offer for somebody else already, because this isn't great for him. When I first heard that this story came out, I tuned into his show the next day because I wanted to hear. I was like, this dude better apologize for saying this. Like, I'm sure it was taken out of context and people are taking it too far like they always do, but he needs to apologize for his career and for his image. So I tuned into his show and he did not apologize. He backpedaled a little bit. He said, you know, it was taken out of context and that's not what I meant. I was just saying education in the Dominican Republic isn't as good. He's like, oh yeah, out of the 156 countries, they're like 144th. I don't know what the numbers are, but that's what he said. I'm paraphrasing.
He basically doubled down.
Yeah, and he kept saying, I'm not doubling down. He kept saying that. I'm not doubling down. I'm not Donald Trump. That can't be your defense. I'm not Donald Trump. You have to do better than that.
This is absurd. And so ESPN has cut ties with him, which is really only a week before they were going to anyway. So I don't know if they would have fired him if they had like an extension on his contract in place. But now players and the MLB Players Association are calling for Fox to like not actually hire him or to cut ties with him too. It'll be interesting to see if that happens, because it really might. He insulted an entire third of the Major League Baseball.
I don't know what he was thinking. I mean, to say it, is one thing. You know, you're just not thinking when you say it, and it just comes out of your mouth. But, I mean, come on, man. You have to apologize for this, especially when you're looking for a new gig.
Right, and I disagree. Major League Baseball is pretty complex. And one of his points was that you've got players speaking different languages all trying to play together, which wouldn't work in other sports leagues. Well, those require more communication on the field. That doesn't mean they're more complex. It's just a different sort of game.
Yeah, you can get through a baseball game just using hand signals. They do it all the time.
Yeah, that wouldn't really work in an NFL huddle. You got to actually be able to speak, but that doesn't mean that the NFL is more complex than baseball. I think they're probably about equally complex.
It's just a different game, that's all.
And with that, let's go to Sports Madness.
Sports Madness.
So our first Sports Madness story comes to us from the Yankees, and it's got another Cubs mention in there, Matt Yost.
Super.
So Joe Pepitone just did an interview, and he was saying that he used to love playing in Chicago at Wrigley Field because one time one of the fans threw some weed at him. It was four joints wrapped up in tinfoil, and he like looks inside like, oh, sweet, and just goes out and stashes it in the ivy. And so then he goes and like gets it later after the game. So then like fans kept doing this and throwing all kinds of drugs, coke and shit at him. And he's like, feels something on his back. Sweet. Goes and hides it in the ivy. Talking about how after games, he's always out in the ivy, just like digging around. Last guy to leave Wrigley after every game. Great story.
That's a different era, man. You would never see this happen today.
Well,
if
yeah.
anyone threw anything at a player, they'd be kicked out of the stadium immediately.
That no one's gonna give away free drugs.
They might to a Major League Baseball player.
He can afford to buy his own.
He can't afford to buy his own. Well, especially today, these players are making crazy salaries. One of the people involved in our next story is a Sports Madness regular, our boy Floyd Money Mayweather. He's on this segment all the time.
Yeah.
This actually wasn't because of something he did, though. He's reportedly going to fight Andre Berto, and there was a casino in Vegas that made a way too early line for this because it's not even official that they're going to fight yet. But the limitations on the line are they have to fight by September 30th, and the maximum bet you can make is $1,000. But the line is the crazy part. Floyd is heavily favored, and the line is minus 900, which means to win $100, you would have to bet $900. Who would ever bet on this?
That is absurd. That's about the same rate of return you'd get on buying municipal bonds. And considering the way Floyd fights, they'd be about as entertaining.
Oh, yes. Floyd municipal bonds Mayweather. Not money anymore. He's on the municipal bonds. Love it.
Our next story comes to us from LeSean McCoy, who's trying to throw a party. And he posted on his Instagram the creepiest invitation ever. He's got a picture of his face with a Bills logo in the background. It says from 10 p.m. until whenever, and women only. Only women are allowed to go. Not only is it women only, but they're doing a screening process.
Yeah, some guy followed up just to see what the process involved. It was crazy. It was involved sending them your picture, your full name, all of your social media accounts so they can really look into who you are. You're not allowed to bring a friend with you unless your friend has also been pre-approved. They don't tell you where it is. They just give you like a location for a pickup, and the pickup driver brings an outfit with him that you're supposed to wear to the party. This is insane.
That is ridiculous. So then the Bills told him that he can't use their logo for this. So he had to pull their logo off of the poster. Apparently, it's still going on, though. The party, reportedly, according to Pro Football Talk, is still happening. So if you want to see what a picture of this original invite looked like, check out the Sports Appeal Facebook page. We'll post it on there right now.
I don't know who these girls are that are going to go to this party. I mean, you're by yourself. You don't know where it is. You're getting picked up by someone that you don't know who that is. You don't know when it ends. Like, why would you go to this thing? I guess nothing better to do in Buffalo, maybe?
Yeah, and there are going to be absolutely no dudes there besides LeSean McCoy.
Probably, yeah, LeSean McCoy and his friends.
So your odds are not that good.
And all the Genesee that you could drink in Western New York. And we have one more Sports Madness story. This isn't really a national news story. It's more related to us here at Sports Appeal. Our guest last week was Danny Cunningham, and he actually tweeted to us saying that the North American Meat Institute has chimed in on the hot dog sandwich debate. And according to them, again, the North American Meat Institute, they say the hot dog is a sandwich. So, Matt, yes, you finally found a supporter.
Yes, I got one. One person agrees with me. Not just a person, an institute of meat.
There's a simple explanation, though. They're wrong. That's all there is to it.
The Meat Institute of North America has my back. And on that note, we're going to take it out. Thanks so much for listening. This is Sports Appeal, produced by Johnny Five, powered by Hazard Audio. And playing us out is going to be Dreamwork by Full Service.